Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet of up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WynNBet.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you by Coors Light. When you're sweating out your bets, remember to take some time to chill and grab the perfect cold refreshment, Coors Light. And finally, we're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is home to the best Ball Mania 2 contest where you can win $1 million. That's right, $1 million. Sign up now at UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN. That's UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
Hi ho, Degenerinos. The MMA Gambling Podcast is back in your ear holes on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I will be your host, Jeff Fox. I write and edit over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com, as well as writing, editing, running MMA-manifesto.com. Thanks for listening. If you are listening on our MMA Gambling Podcast feed, thank you. If you're listening on the main Sports Gambling Podcast feed, please make sure you sign up to our MMA Gambling Podcast feed. Like I said, eventually the plan is for us just to go out on that feed only, still be part of the Sports Gambling Podcast family, but only be on the one feed. So make sure you subscribe over at MMA Gambling Podcast. And if you want to give us a nice review, only 5-star reviews are required. If you like to do that, that's great. And only positive reviews, obviously, about me, my associate co-host. It's whatever you feel about him is up to you. I'm not going to press you either way, but if you want to give him a bad review, that's perfectly fine with me. Speaking of him, every episode, as you Harkos know, is dedicated after a player that wears the number of the episode. I know it's very, very unique idea. So this is episode 41. He insisted that this episode goes out to NBA legend Dirk Nowitzki, which since we do have German listeners, they will be probably happy to hear it. I'm going to break my rule. I'm going to let him speak before I introduce him so he can explain to us why this has to go out to Dirk Nowitzki. Go right ahead.
Well, it's got to go out to Dirk Nowitzki, A, because I've got his bobblehead hanging out behind me every single time we record. So I've got that just chilling there, the 41 hanging over my shoulder. And B, also, you've got to give it up to a dude who's that awkward in both social skills and on a basketball court and still manages to be top 10 all-time in points.
There you go. There you go. Okay, you're not allowed to speak again now. I am blocking you from speaking. So the rule is he's not allowed to speak until he's introduced, but I did need an explanation there. So some of you may have thought that we would take, since the UFC is taking this weekend off, and pretty much everybody's taking this weekend off, that we would take this weekend off as well. But no, here we are, back again. What we're actually going to talk about, who knows? But we're here, regardless. Like I said, there's no UFC this weekend. There's basically nothing this weekend. I guess I'm Canadian, but we just had a long weekend. I guess you Americans have one coming up this coming weekend, so everything is shutting down. There's always plenty to talk about, and when it comes to the degenerate pastime of betting on people fist fighting one another. So I think I've had enough talking, so let's introduce the man whose voice you just heard. He would be the associate co-host here. He is the host of Top Turtle MMA podcast. He's the host of Prelim Picker podcast. He writes for me over at MMA-manifesto.com. He writes for us at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. He writes for a bunch of other places. I have no witty dig or insult for him this week, so we'll let him off the hook easy. We'll just say his name is Daniel Gumby Vreeland.
Wow. We've got all of the show to fill, and I've got the shortest mention maybe of all time. Like, maybe...
I know.
Yeah, I'm in shock. I don't have anything to say, and maybe that's more problematic.
That is... One of the goals here is to keep Dan on his toes, and so you never know when I'm going to have a long intro, and when I'm not, I don't even know, Dan. These things just happen. So I wanted to get you in early because... wanted to ask you, is there any MMA going on this weekend worth paying attention to at all or worth gambling on at all? Well, I have not seen any listed anywhere, but you follow every promotion in the world, so maybe not.
Of course, there's actually two events that I've got my eyes on this weekend because the usuals are not there, right? Like, obviously the UFC's on a break, Bellator's on a break, PFL's on a break. I think 1FC's on a break. I don't even watch 1FC all that often. I don't see any CES or Cage Titans or LFA. But the two that stuck out to me, XFC, which been a nice little promotion, I believe out of Iowa, Des Moines, Iowa. But it airs on Fox Sports 2 here in the States. I don't know if it airs at all in Canada, but it is actually like fairly well televised and fairly easy to get your eyes on here in the U.S. And it's being headlined by a pair of UFC veterans. Andre Sukumta, who is a New England boy, so obviously I've got a sweet spot for him, is fighting Jose Alberto Quinones, who was recently released from the UFC. Kurt Hollibaugh's on the card. Yep. There's a couple of other decent prospect-y types that I like. There's a guy named Tom O'Connor who's fighting there. He's an 155-pounder who's gotten a whole bunch of finishes lately. Canadian folk like you like, although... He's from Lethbridge, Alberta. Do you know where Lethbridge, Alberta is?
I do. I haven't been that far west, but I do know where, I do know all about Lethbridge. I think they make hockey players there.
Oh yeah, so not MMA fighters usually, but just hockey players. And then the other one is Fight Pass is going to have Cage Fury Fighting Championship CFFC, which you've probably seen that name there, you know, multiple times. They constantly are putting on good fights. There's actually two people I got my eye on in this. The main event has got Jamel Jones in it, who was, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm putting the intern on it right now, on the Contender Series once. He may have lost to somebody. Hang on a second. He was in the Contender Series. He lost to big, slow Mike Rodriguez, which is, you know, no shame in that one. Lost by flying knee. He was also on The Ultimate Fighter. He didn't get into the house, but he was in a... qualifying fight. He since then has rattled off. I mean, he's won four out of his last five fights with only a loss to William Knight and a couple of first round knockouts. So he's like right there on the. It's always kind of fun. And the other one I've been watching for a long time on the regional circuit is a guy named Chris Moutinho, who is from Milford, Massachusetts. I actually was at his pro debut CES 38 in 2016. And I think I actually saw him fight on the regionals before he turned pro, but I can't remember the exact event. But I do remember being at his debut, and I've seen him a whole bunch of other times. He just got done finishing, like, Shale Sonnen's prodigy, the guy that Shale Sonnen loves so much. He knocked him clean out in the last CES event. He's like a CES regular. I think most of his pro career, if not all of it, has been in CES. So he's kind of a fun guy to watch, too. So... CFFC rather, MMA has got a good show going on as well as XFC.
See, that's why I introduced you early. See that? You actually had... I shouldn't be surprised. You always contribute, but yeah, you actually came through in the clutch, and you killed some time. This episode's all about just killing time.
That can be the tag on the episode this time, killing time to more UFC.
Killing time between ad reads, as my son thinks it's all just ad reads anyhow, so yes. But more importantly, can you bet on any of these events? Do you see odds anymore, or have you not
checked? I have seen odds on XFC in the past.
I
haven't seen them posted yet, but they do pop up, so you got to keep an eye out for those. Generally, what I've been finding lately is if it's going to be on Fight Pass, if it's going to be on UFC's Fight Pass, typically somebody picks up the odds, and I don't know where you got to find odds for that or what sports books you got to belong to or what to find odds. But, yeah, there's – oh, and I didn't mention Combate Global, too. Damn it. That one's always got odds posted places, too. That they're doing a one-night tournament. It's the guy who invented the UFC owns that company now.
Yes.
Campbell McLaren, he's very harsh on media members who don't mention him, so maybe it's good I got my mentions in.
Yeah, exactly. You've had him on the show, I think, have you not?
No, other UFC
founders. No, you've had Art Davies.
I had Art Davies, right. Yeah. No, yeah. They're doing a one-night bantamweight tournament with a whole bunch of guys who just go in and slug, which is super fun. I think it's an 8-person one with a whole bunch of alternates, too, and there's a UFC vet in there, too. Trying to remember which one it is. Putting the intern on. Oh, Noelen Hernandez, who did look good in the UFC. He looked really freaking awful. But he's back now. He lost to Jack Shore and Marlon Vera, so I guess there's no shame in that.
No.
But, yeah, so watch Combate Global as well.
There you go. Amazing. See? Dan knows his stuff. I'm thinking, speaking of upcoming event stuff, maybe we'll give everyone a quick preview of what we've got in UFC has in store for us for the rest of the summer. There's some big fights on the horizon. Maybe make quick picks for all of them. And then I think this is time to hit pause and take a look at our results and if there's anything that we can do to improve the results for our picks and obviously for the listeners who are, I assume, following our advice and gambling $100 on every fight, and they're down thousands of dollars right now, and they're the significant others and family are struggling now because of us. So I can always help. That's what's happening out there. Before we get to that, let me tell you about WynnBET. WynnBET is bringing you the action of real sports betting with the Wynn Las Vegas experience. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports games. Generous promos, odds, and parlays are happening right now at WynnBET. Get started today, and you'll receive a special offer up to $500 risk-free sports bet. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at wynnbet.com and download the app today. All right. Hopefully you didn't bet on my Suns last night, because despite me wearing a Suns jersey and Phoenix Suns socks, they lost to the Lakers because the Lakers are cheaters and they hurt Chris Paul, and now Chris Paul can't play properly. So,
how old is Chris Paul now?
Older than you, yeah. Younger than me. Okay. Which,
that gives you a rough age range.
36. 30. He just turned 36.
That is older than
yes,
me.
Yes, there you go. Sadly, it's older than Dan. All right, what do we got on the horizon? Next week, we talked about this card a bit. It's a pretty decent card, mostly because we got a lot of tricky guys in it. Tricky guys for life. It would be Fight Night Rosenstruck versus Sakai. Main event, we've got a loose, chunky guy in Augusto Saiz, a thick boy. I wouldn't really call him chunky. I would call him thick. I think the kids spell it T-H-I-C-C. Is that right, Dan?
I wouldn't know, but
you're
yeah.
Not a kid?
No, I'm definitely younger, but I ain't that much younger.
I think they spell it that way. Anyhow, he's a thick boy. Someone's spouse may have even mentioned how thick he was once. I remember.
Oh, yeah. My wife pointed out that he has a donk. Yeah.
Exactly. So anyhow, we'll stop objectifying these men's bodies. the fight, Rosenstruik is surprisingly, he's only a small favorite in this one. Minus 115 is the best I've seen around for him, and you can get Sakai around plus 108. I really like Rosenstruik at this price. I think he's just the better fighter, and despite losing his last fight, I think he's going to pick apart Sakai. Maybe not pick him apart, but he's going to beat him.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think the problem here is just the hesitancy. I think that's what people are a little worried about with
right.
him. Because in that last fight with Surreal Gain, he had a lot of trouble getting anything going, and he didn't seem in any urgent matter to get it going, right? Like, he was just kind of waiting for Surreal Gain to make a mistake, and Surreal is really tactical and careful, and I think you'll also find that about Augusto Sakai, too, right? Like, Augusto Sakai takes his time and doesn't rush it. Like, you know, like think about the fight with Blagoy Ivanov, where they just kind of, it was like a standoff for 15 minutes. And to some extent, with Andrei Arlovsky, he did that with. He just let Arlovsky and him just kind of, you know, did their thing and were there for a while. So, yeah, I also like Rosenstruik in this one. I think he's probably going to punch Sakai's head clean off of his body. But also, in the same sense, I do get the line at the very least.
Yep. Yeah, and I like it. It's a good line. We'll obviously give you more in two episodes when we break this down next week. But should be a fun fight. And there's also, obviously, we went through it last episode, but there's other fun fights on this card. Is there another fight that jumps off this card that you like, either from a fun perspective or a betting perspective?
Yeah, well, from a perspective of I would hate to see either of the fighters lose, I love both Yusuf Zalal and Sean Woodson as prospects. They started so hot.
Right, yeah.
Both of them kind of took a step back, and I was hoping for both of them to get, like, decent bounce-back fights, and they did, but against each other. So now I'm going to watch
right.
Now I'm going to watch one of them on a bad enough losing streak that he'll probably get cut. It's so hard to pick somebody in that one. That one's going to cause me a lot of anguish. I will also say I'm really excited to see what Miguel Baeza does against Santiago Ponzinibbio. Like, Baeza is one of those guys who is, like, a hot up-and-comer, you know, not super young, but, like, fairly young. You know, he's in his late 20s, and has looked just like he could absolutely murder everybody he's fought so far. So, including Takashi Sato last time out, he knocked out Matt Brown. Like, Santiago Ponzinibbio is, like, the right step up for him. So, yeah, I'm excited for that one as well.
Yeah, it's a fun fight card. For those fights Dan mentioned, we got Baeza is -118 currently against Ponzinibbio, and Woodson's -175. That seems a little high for me against Zalal, or am I overlooking something here?
I think you're right. I think the problem there is that Zalal has, you know, no offense to Yusuf Zalal, because I love Yusuf Zalal. He'll also be on my show later this week.
There you go. That's why.
Listen to this. He's probably already on Top Turtle along with Alan Joban, so make sure you go check out with those two. The problem for him is I think he's looked rough in the last two against guys who could outstrike him. In Ilya Topuria and Sungwoo Choi. And like, both of those guys, you know, could outstrike him. He out-grappled the other guys he beat. So, you know, like, he's losing to strikers and beating grapplers. So when you put him in there with a striker, I think, you know, not to oversimplify the fight in that way, but I think that's probably where the odds maker are at on that one. And if you look at it, Sean Woodson's loss, which it's kind of unfortunate. He lost to Juicy J in a pick that I promise we got wrong because I was shitting all over Juicy J. But in that fight, he looked like he was in control too until he just kind of got stunned and choked out. So if they don't think Yusuf Zalal can tag him, I get why those odds are almost -200.
Yep, very true. And then the UFC Octagon goes on the road again, June 12th, to Glendale, Arizona, the suburbs of Phoenix, where they'll be celebrating their recent defeat of the Lakers in the series, and they'll probably be well into, the Western Conference Finals by then. At the Gila River Arena, listen to the UFC 263. This is a pretty stacked card. We got Israel Adesanya versus Marvin Vettori in a rematch this time for the middleweight title. We've got Davison Figueiredo versus Brandon Moreno in a rematch for the flyweight title. We got Leon Edwards versus Nate Diaz. We got Demian Maia versus Bilal Muhammad. Paul Craig versus Jamahal Hill. That's the main card.
I love the way that you say Jamahal still.
Jamahal.
You're like, there's no way that says Jamal.
That's how it's spelled. If they don't spell their names properly, I'm going to say it how it's spelled.
I'm 100% so positive.
Spelled Jamal properly. I know. Well, they should have spent it Jamal. Spelled it as Jamal. There's various ways to spell Jamal. None of them have an H in it.
Yeah.
As far as I know, but regardless.
Or a third A.
That's true. Let me see. Dan's professional girlfriend, Laura Murphy, is fighting versus Jerron Calderwood.
I love Calderwood, too, for the record.
Oh, it's true. Yeah, it's going to be a tough one for you to pick. Yeah, this is a pretty stacked fight. And I'm skipping over a bunch of fights, not to bore you and list off all 13 or 15 fights or whatever. This is a pretty stacked fight card.
You're missing the biggest part, though, before we get to the main event.
Go ahead.
Remarkable chunky guy matchup. Remarkable.
One second, let me see.
Carlos Felipe, Jake Collier is like a chunky guy matchup.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
At end all chunky guy matchups. That is hashtag chunky guys out the wazoo.
This could be a fight card of the year for us. It's got everything you could possibly want in it. Does it have anyone you hate, though, that you want to see get beat up?
There's
got to
be somebody who I want to see just get...
Chase Hooper? Do you hate
that
kid?
No, I actually love Chase Hooper. Like, yeah,
he's a good guy.
He's one of those ones who's extra hyped, and I don't want to see his head get kicked off.
Let me see who Dan could possibly hate.
I think I like all of these people.
No, but boring.
I want to see. I want to see Nate Diaz's head get punched off. This is maybe maybe a hot take, but I don't like the Diaz brothers all that much. Like I'm not a
overhyped.
Yeah, overhyped, and I can't. So I guess you could use that one. You could use. I hope Leon Edwards scores a big knockout, but I even feel I feel like an asshole saying those words out loud.
Well, hey. Nate Diaz is good for business, though, Dan, so we can't totally hate him, but wanting him to get beat up is fine, because with the Diaz brothers, it doesn't matter if they win or lose. It doesn't hurt their stock whatsoever, so you can actively cheer for them to lose while also hoping they make you money via ad traffic on your website. Okay, that's all I'm saying. So, main event is Israel Adesanya versus Marvin Vettori, as I said, in a rematch. Vettori gave up until Adesanya's last fight where he got beat by Jan Błachowicz. Vettori, most people say, gave him his hardest fight. It was a split decision victory. And when was that? It was just a couple years ago. It wasn't too long ago. It was Poirier versus Gaethje, whenever that was. Dan will know because he remembers everything.
No, Poirier that's the one Gaethje. Thing I will say. I'm really bad with dates. Dates are not my thing. I can tell you who fought who in what crazy organizations they fought in. But if that was Israel Adesanya's first fight, if I'm not mistaken, he debuted in 2018.
No, it was the second fight, sorry.
Oh, so he debuted in 2018, so it's got to be right around 2018, is my guess.
April 14th, 2018, a day before my wife's birthday, April 14th. So there you go. And do you know Israel Adesanya's full name, Dan? Now that I'm on his Wikipedia
page.
He's
got seven names, right? Like, so I don't know the full one, Israel, but I know there's a lot of them.
Israel, you like me saying names. So you know, Israel Mobolaji, Tamatayo, Odunayo, we'll say, Oluwafemi, Ololabi Adesanya.
That's
He should go with all those names. That would be amazing.
It would be really great to hear Bruce Buffer I'm not gonna say Bruce Buffer. I'm gonna say
his favorite.
Yeah, I want to hear Joe Martinez do it because Joe Martinez does accents better than Bruce Buffer. Especially
so Joe Martinez does Dan the opening for Dan's Top Turtle podcast.
Yeah, that's
okay. Full disclosure. Dan's totally. Doing it again.
Yeah, I'm a little biased because, hey, if you agree to do the bumper to kick off my show, you automatically become the best announcer. I also picked him.
Exactly.
Like, he's a better announcer to do the opener.
That's true. Either Adesanya should go by his full name or should go by the initials IMTOOOA. That would be better.
Do you think that's going to catch on? Like,
that's his initials.
Do you think that's going to catch on like GSP?
Yeah, IMTOOOA. It could be like a cheerleader. I could hear cheerleaders doing
that. Yeah, sure. Why not?
IMTOOOA. All right. There's our first serious sidetrack of the podcast. All right. So I think we've probably already done the guess the odds for this fight, or have we not? Do you remember?
I don't think we have.
All right. Well, what are the current odds then? What are you getting Israel Adesanya for?
It's got to be right around -200, right? Like
-250 looks like about where it is.
Yeah, that's a little wider, but like right around there.
Yeah, anywhere from -249 up to -270. I don't see the rematch being any different than the first fight. This is probably a good bounce back for Adesanya after his first career loss. I think he gets by Vettori.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. So Izzy is one of those guys who, you know, I put in that category as until he gets beat by somebody in his weight class, I'm not going to pick against him. He just really impresses me whenever he's in there. So, yeah, I'm going with him as well.
There you go. And then the other rematch, Figueiredo versus Moreno. The first one was a draw. Was it a majority draw? Was it a split draw? What was it?
I think it was a unanimous.
Was it something fancy?
I think it was a unanimous draw, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. It says majority draw. There we go. Wikipedia never lies, so it was a majority draw, apparently. So, yeah, it was damn good. Where do you see the odds for this one?
I think it's probably a little bit closer than Izzy because their first fight was a draw, but I also think Figueiredo should be a healthy enough favorite because he won that fight, if not for a dick kick. So I'm going to say -175.
There was a good one of those in the Suns game last night, by the way.
A good dick kick?
Right at the starting. Yes, right at the starting.
Do you got a gift for it that you can send to me?
Right, for your phone. This weirdo. Dan's probably going to end up being a serial killer. And if he isn't already, he's definitely on that path. because he has a lot of odd pictures of men being injured on his phone. I don't know if he has ladies. I don't want to know, but it's mostly, from what I hear, it's men. But, yes, Anthony Davis kicked Jay Crowder accidentally, of course. Yeah, sure, to start the game. But you guessed what? Sorry, 175,
yeah.
I think you said?
Yeah, one.
It's minus two. Usually minus 250 looks like okay. Where it is. And that sounds, seems about right to me. I would I see Figueredo winning the rematch.
Yeah, I think so, too. He's going to have to face somebody who's going to pretty seriously out-grapple him in order to beat him right now. Because
yes.
I think he just punches too hard and is a little bit too crisp on the feet for me to, you know, I stand by my statement from, man, probably December or whenever that fight happened, where I think Alex Perez is probably the worst stylistic matchup for him right now, just because he's got good wrestling and could take him down, and as long as he doesn't stick his head in the guillotine again, he'd probably be better suited for that fight. But, yeah, like he's not going to get outstruck by somebody like Brandon Moreno.
Let that be a lesson to any youth out there listening. Never stick your head in a guillotine.
Seems,
go talk to strangers. Don't stick your head
so
in
obvious. Like,
I know, but hey, we see it happen almost every event, right? People sticking their heads in guillotines. What about Edwards Diaz? Is this is only three rounds
no,
now?
No, it's five
is,
still.
It's still going to be
still going to be five.
Long ass event. I mean, great. That's good. It's going to the decision. I think you can probably bet on that. You agree with that?
Yes, probably. Yes.
All right. Well, what do you what are you getting back for Leon Edwards if you want to bet him, or what do you have to bet to get $100 back for him?
Wait. So he left. He's a favorite.
Oh, I shouldn't
ooh,
have.
You gave that away
because
I figured the casual money coming in on Nate Diaz was probably too silly. So. If he's a favorite,
I'll tell you what it opened at. How's that?
Sure.
I'll give
sure.
you it opened. Sorry, to interrupt. It opened at minus 275 for Edwards, minus 220 for Diaz.
Okay, so that's
where is it now?
That's had to have come down pretty substantially. I'll say negative 175 again for
minus
for
sorry,
like,
I'm jumping
for
all over you
for
again.
Edwards. No, you're good.
You're not, because that was a horrible guess. Minus 450.
Wait, the money's
up
coming in on Leon Edwards?
Yes, up to minus 500. Explain this, Dan.
Explain
this to our listeners. You're the analyst of the podcast.
It pretty
Dan.
Much goes against everything we've ever said about odds
exactly.
and popularity. Because Leon Edwards has, I don't mean to be mean. If you're a Leon Edwards fan, God bless you. But he doesn't have any, right?
Yeah. That's a good one.
Like, there's nobody out there, right? Like, hit at me at Twitter if you are. I'm at Guppy Vreeland. If you're listening to this show right now and you are actively a Leon Edwards mark and you love Leon Edwards, you have an undying passion for him and you would bet him in any circumstance, at me. Just let me know that you exist.
At Guppy Vreeland, everyone, not me. Because I know we have British listeners. We have UK listeners, so you may get a few people.
But am I wrong in saying that I don't think that even, like, the Brit... Like and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't have my finger on the pulse. I feel like he's not even who UK listeners back, right? Like, he's not their guy. Like, Arnold Allen
not.
Is their guy. Or Michael Bisping...
The Almighty. Well, he's Almighty.
And Michael Bisping was their guy. And, like...
Right.
Patty the Batty Pimblett is their guy, or like, you know, even Molly McCann is their gal. Like, I just feel like there isn't that, like, rallying cry for England behind Leon Edwards.
All right, there we go. There's at least one person that gets crapped on by Dan every episode, and I think it's Leon Rocky Edwards this episode.
And he's been a guest of my show.
It must have been a while ago. I don't remember that. Wow, that's... That any fighters listening in, make sure you don't go on Top Turtle Podcast because behind your back, Dan will be very, very mean to you. Very, very mean. That actually might be a good segue to someone who's not mean to you. That would be Coors Light, everybody. Do you ever feel like you're always on? Actually, no. I'm going to read this one instead. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nothing but nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family, a million pressing social issues, and an expectation to be on 24/7. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. What if you're beasting 25/8 or whatever he says instead of 24/7? It's Coors Light. Isn't that it, beasting 25/8?
Corey Anderson was the worst nickname in the history of MMA, Beastin258. He has since changed it to Overtime, which I think gets to the point a little bit better than Beastin258.
Well, regardless, Coors Light's for the beer for him, even if he's on 25.8, he can still use Coors Light, which is for people who are on 24/7. Mountain Cold Refreshment, made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's literally made to chill. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies, not the baseball team. Perfect for a moment to unwind. So, Coors Light is one I choose when I need to unwind. So, when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look, delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Light Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate responsibly. All right. Now, we made fun of Corey Anderson, too. It's great. We make fun of people who have nothing to do with what we're talking about always, too, which is fun.
And Corey Anderson's a nice guy, too.
Exactly. He is. But Beast 25. He's a beast, guys. A savage. All right. June 19th is the next event, and that main event is Chan Sung Jun, the Korean Zombie, versus Dan Ige. What do you think the odds are? That's a nice featherweight battle. Where do you think the odds are in this one?
I got to imagine that we're talking Korean Zombie on top, negative 150.
Minus 110 you can get him for.
Anywhere from
minus 110 to minus 125. I don't really have a breakdown of this in my head. Do you have a quick snapshot of this, how this fight's going to play out?
I don't have anything to say about this one in particular, but I do have to say this fight card has got some fun ones on it, too, though. I was
Alexei Oleinik versus Sergey Spivak. There we go.
Yep.
Old guys and Chucky guys.
That wasn't right the one I was thinking of, but I was thinking of the return of Kanako Murata has got me really excited because I'm a big Murata believer. Yeah, I think she's like a future top five possible title challenger at strawweight. She's the only thing that could hold her back is she's, like, short and has literally, like, the smallest reach in the history of the UFC. But, like, she's an absolute juggernaut with her wrestling. So, I think
she's a beast.
Yeah, she's a beast. She's a savage, all that kind of stuff. And she's, like, also not afraid to grapple with grapplers, which I also really enjoy because she's going to be grappling Virna Jandroba, which, I think that's...
We just lost her.
Yeah, she lost her good grappler, right. So, like, it's going to be fun. And also... we talked about the Chunky Olympics earlier on the show.
Yep.
This one, better even Chunky Guy fight between Josh Parisian and Roque Martinez, who are...
Oh, right, yes,
ooh,
yes, yes.
Ooh, that's back to... Was that back-to-back weeks of good Chunky? Oh, no, there's a week in... Oh, no, back-to-back Chunky weeks, the 12th and the 19th.
We may have to dub this the Summer of Chunky, everybody. Just like George Costanza declared it the Summer of George, I think this is going to be the Summer of Chunky. We can hope at least.
Just might be.
And then the next week we've got Cyril Gane, or Gane, which is what I think it should be, but I think he goes by Gane, versus Alexander Volkov in a heavyweight battle. Not a guy Chunky, unfortunately. Heavyweights, usually you can get at least one of them Chunky, but not. What do you think the odds are on this one, quickly?
I'm going Gane, slight favorite, negative 135.
Yeah, there you go. Right in there. 136 is the lowest, up to 152 or something is where we're seeing that one. So that should be a fun one. I want to say number one contender, but the heavyweight division is such a mess. Who knows? Now that these guys are going to get a title shot anytime soon, probably. So John Jones announced that he's going to take at least another year to get ready to fight a heavyweight. I take it you saw that.
Yeah, I saw that, and I just don't – what is he doing? Like, this is a tangent we could take. We could talk about this one. Because, like,
yes.
Don't get me wrong. I understand he's in a weird no man's land in that division right now, right? Like, they're going to book Francis. Originally, it was going to be him. He clearly outpriced himself. The UFC is going to play hardball. But, like – is disappearing for a year going to make the UFC, like, want to pay him more? No, like Francis Ngannou is going to keep selling pay-per-views like nothing. And if he keeps knocking people's heads into, the third row of the arena, Dana White is just going to laugh to the bank as he just, like, prints him money. Would it be a bigger fight against John Jones? Sure, it'd be a bigger fight against John Jones. Does he need John Jones? Probably not. It seems like a very weird business move on John Jones's part.
Yeah, I don't know if this is just posturing, and he didn't delete the tweet. Usually he deletes these tweets that,
That's usually only when he, like, directly insults somebody. So now he's the threats stay around.
Yeah. But I don't know if this is because him and Dana are playing their negotiating through the media game that Dana loves to play especially. I don't know if that's just a case of this or not, but he's one of those strange cases where you could argue he's the greatest to ever fight, plus he's the guy who squandered his talent the most, which is very two polar opposites, but I think you could probably say it's true.
Yeah, how can it be both of those things? But God, it 100% is. Because we could have seen him fight 10 more times somewhere, right? Like and probably have wins over, you know, guys like Stipe, right? Like,
all right, so that's enough. I think that's enough talk of John Jones. He craves attention, and we're just giving him more attention because I know he listens to us. I know you're listening, John. All right, then we. You having fun with this? Should we keep going?
I like this because I'm getting to see. I'm also like looking up and down these cards as we go too, and I'm hitting. Yep. Ones that I'd forgotten are happening, too, because we got a Shavkat Rachmanov fight, too, which is right up there with Yan Xiaonan is one of my favorite names to say.
There you go. Shavkat
Rachmanov.
Dan is a hardcore. He's talking about Kanako Murado and Shavkat Shavkat Rachmanov. Yeah, he's a hardcore. He's not just casual. He's going to drop in for UFC 264,
Do you want to give a shot at Sue Muderji before we move on to
Sue Muderji? That one's not that hard. Sue Muderji.
Shavkat Rachmanov is worse when you, Shavkat. Especially when you back it up with Kanako Murata. Kanako Murata, Shavkat Rachmanov.
Yeah, that was a problem there. All right, so Poirier McGregor 3. That speaking of casuals, not there's anything wrong with you casuals that are listening. The sport needs all the fans it can get. And we need all the ear holes we can get for this podcast. So we got Poirier McGregor 3. Could be in Vegas, like everything else, but it's actually going to be in the T-Mobile Arena. They're actually going to make some money off this one and pack some people in. This is part 3 of their, I guess you would say, this is the rubber match because they both have a win. I'm sure we've gone through the odds before, but where do you think the odds stand now for this one?
Oh, my God, has Conor become more of a favorite than he already was?
I can't. Was he a huge favorite when we spoke?
He wasn't a huge favorite, but he was a favorite, and that was already ridiculous, and I assume it's continuing that way. So maybe he's up to minus 130.
Okay, let me see. Open, minus 140. And now you can get him between minus 109, minus 125. So some same people have been betting on Dustin Poirier.
Oh, that's good to hear. It's still crazy that Conor remains a favorite in a fight he just lost. But, you know, so it goes.
Yeah. So, like, I believe this is the advice we gave when this fight was announced months ago or whatever. If you want to bet on Poirier, hold off. Wait till we get closer to the event. Number's probably going to get even more skewed in his favor. You can get him now at plus number, which you may want to dip a bit there, but if you, I would probably say hold off on dropping the full bet until you get right up close to fight week and people fans realize this is happening. So I think we both also said Poirier, it's going to be the same result. Poirier's beating McGregor in this one.
I think so. I listened to a couple of analysts who gave me good reasons to think that Conor is going to make changes, and I don't know. Conor is such a freaking puzzle. He's such an enigma that it at least gives me pause before I go all in. Let's change the focus. Tai Tuivasa's fat, and he's on this card too.
Wow, Dan came right out and said fat, and he's fighting the man of the people, Greg Hardy.
Oh yeah, everybody loves him.
Everybody loves Greg Hardy.
Greg Hardy. I'm going to share this fact: the most scared I've ever been in a stadium was Greg Hardy's. Was it his? It was his UFC debut. I was live covering that in Brooklyn, and he landed in an illegal knee, got DQ'd against Alan Crowder, and I was, like, positive I was going to get hit in the head with a beer bottle as Greg Hardy was walking out with somebody trying to duff him. It's, like, the most angry I've seen a crowd in a good amount of time.
There you go. We're getting back to those times again, Dan. Crowds are angry mobs are coming back to stadiums. So it's society's nature is healed, everybody. this card, I guess they could add more fights because we're still a month and a half out. But as per usual, they don't stack the McGregor card because they don't have to. And why spend?
I don't know.
It's all right, but it's not stacked with big names. They don't put. Actually, I was going to say multiple title fights, but they don't have to put any title fights because this is not for a title. What I'm saying is that there's no need to spend money on high-priced fighters or champions or people who get a cut of the pay-per-view because you've already got Conor McGregor. So you got Gilbert Burns versus Stephen Thompson, which I think probably at this point is going to be the co-main event.
They probably got to make good money at this point, right? Which you, of course, can find out at MMA-Manifesto.com if you would like to.
Listen to this guy. It's true, but they're not getting pay-per-view points, which is the key here. Poirier and McGregor would at this point, but not those guys, so the UFC can keep more of the pie. So that's a good fight. Let me see what else. Ryan Hall's making his debut. I'm sure not his debut. It feels like his debut.
His re-debut.
I'm sure Dan's a fan of his because he's.
I am, but I also like Aaliyah Topuria too.
That's who he's fighting.
And any Georgian fighter right now sticks out as being fun as hell.
There you go. Brad Tavares, who Dan showed a strange level of hate for and knowledge of a few podcasts ago. Tuivasa versus Hardy, Sean O'Malley versus Luis Molca, Irene Aldana versus Yana Kunitskaya. That could be a number one contender fight, right?
Yeah. I would also say you're missing one of my favorite fighters on this whole card, and that's Sean Brady is back in the cage fighting Kevin Lee. Yeah.
Kevin Lee's going back to welterweight,
which seems just like the let's talk about Kevin Lee in welterweight for 2 seconds because he made the choice to go to welterweight a while ago, and he lost to Rafael Santos up at welterweight, right? Because he was like, oh, it's really hard against guys who can wrestle at welterweight when they're big and heavy, and then he goes back to welterweight and they give him the meanest grappler they can fucking find, right? Like Sean Brady.
Yeah, it's weird.
Sean Brady is like RDA like 7.0. He's like what happens when RDA evolved into a bigger jits monster than he already is. So. And plus more muscles. Like his back looks like it has room for 7 or 8 tattoos on it. It seems like it's like they hate Kevin Lee for some reason.
And he's in the UFC, so he will surely have 7 or 8 tattoos on his back.
He's got like a big, it a big devil's head or something on his back? He's got some kind of big crazy tattoo on his back.
I've realized I notice tattoos, but I don't ever pay attention to what they are. I've realized.
I've got a good data bank of them in my head. I know the sledgehammer. I guess now Volkov has changed it, but he used to have a big stingray on his back, which seems like a weird move for a Russian fighter.
Thought you were going to say Sting, the wrestler, which would be cool.
Yeah, he's just got Sting's face blown up on his back.
Surfer Sting. The crow Sting on his back.
Yeah, that seems like a bad tattoo.
I do remember the Johnny Cash tattoo on Alan Belcher.
You know, what did you think? I always ask people this when they bring up the Johnny Cash tattoo on Alan Belcher. What did you think it was first?
Yeah, I'm not because he kind of has like a pompadour in it, doesn't he? Yeah. Like it doesn't really. Yeah, I can't remember what I thought, but yeah, it didn't exactly scream out Johnny Cash.
Me and my older brother were convinced it was Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, I can see that for sure, yeah. Yeah, so I noticed tattoos like that. Like, I remember back when gyms were open here and I could work out, I remember a girl there had, like, I think she had Johnny Cash also on one leg, and then she had, like, David Bowie, Aladdin Sane tattoo on her other leg, which was very cool. But yeah, regardless, I don't pay much attention to
What about, tattoos, I'm going to share all my favorite tattoos now. What about,
all right, here we go.
What about Darren Till's ex-girlfriend on his own shoulder?
Oh, that's right. He does. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so brutal.
That's so on brand for him, though.
Yeah, and I think that's why he doesn't get rid of it, right? Like that's just like, yep, this is a dumb thing I did.
Yeah, he's very not thought out. He's very oi. He's very British, you could say. So.
Are you insulting British fans now? Because I thought that's the only thing I was going to do today.
We just had Victoria Day. We're yesterday. We're total. We're pro Britain here in Canada, obviously. we spell things with U, so no, I definitely would never. Never do that. So what else we got? I think that might be it for all the big.
No. You are mistaken. That is not it for big events.
Amanda Nunes versus Julianna Pena.
No. So you, my friend, are not trolling on Twitter while we're recording, which I definitely am not either. But Brett Okamoto, as we were recording,
just
announced the actual main event for the July 17th main event. It is not Marion Renault versus Misha Tate. That will likely be the co-main event. Instead, the main event is going to be Yair Rodriguez versus Max Holloway in a five-round featherweight fight, which will certainly be the death of Yair Rodriguez, but will be much more fun to watch.
Man, that's very fun. Yeah. I like that very much. I wonder what the obviously there's no odds yet, so
it should be Max Holloway -800.
Are you a mark for Mr. Holloway?
I mean, I like Max Holloway. I think he's the second best featherweight in the world, just behind Volkanovski. Because this is maybe a hot take too. I scored both fights for Volkanovski, and I think Yair Rodriguez coming off of maybe a USADA suspension, although we don't have the proper answer there, and just he's flashy for the sake of being flashy, and it works sometimes, but like. Good technical striking or good wrestling always seems to perplex him a little bit. And I think Max Holloway is the perfect person to perplex him in a very bad way.
Nick, Holloway seems like, okay, he's done, like he's punch drunk, that's it, but he keeps putting up performances where he can't really say he's done.
I feel so bad for Calvin Kattar, who we haven't seen since that happened, right? Like, he's still out, and I'm like... Man, it just seems like he got rattled really bad in that fight.
Yeah, he definitely got rattled really bad there. You know where you won't get rattled? Over at Underdog Fantasy. Very good, very good, very smooth.
Well played.
If you haven't played Underdog Fantasy, you have to check out their fantasy best ball tournament. It's the best around, including the Best Ball Mania 2 tournament, where you can win $1 million. Plus, you can play a number of games involving parlay and player props. I always have to say that twice, parlay and player props. For MLB, the NBA, and more. They also have a special NBA playoffs best ball tournament, which are on as we speak. So go to underdogfantasy.com, use promo code SGPN, and don't forget to enter their Best Ball Mania 2 tournament for your chance to win $1 million. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code SGPN. I was thinking we're going to break down our betting strategies and stuff, but we've already gone, 45 minutes? We don't even need to do that. We can save that for the next podcast because we have another podcast that we have to fill time for you lovely people coming up on Sunday. I was going to lastly just go down and check out all the title fights that we have for all the different weight class, make sure we didn't miss any. So we've got Nagano is still up in the air. Do you think it's going to be Dana White threatening is going to be Derek Lewis? Do you think that's what's going to happen probably?
I think it actually is going to be Derek Lewis. Yeah, especially Don Jones hiring new management right now.
Rita mentioned that in that whole diatribe on him. He hired what, a Golden Boy?
The former CEO of Golden Boy.
Yeah, who Dana White hates, Oscar De La Hoya.
Although he said really nice things about the former CEO of Golden Boy. Maybe because he got away from Oscar De La Hoya. Maybe that's what Dana's pumped about. But
I thought this was
Jones. Very flattering.
No, I thought this was Jones. Jones sticking it to the UFC. Wouldn't it be amazing if Derek Lewis won the title? Like, that would be the greatest thing ever. Derek Lewis, the UFC champion, would be, the greatest thing ever, I think. Yeah, it was my eyes. Derek Lewis a few years ago when he used to fight differently would have been better, but it still would be a lot of fun right now.
I do think it would be fun.
I love Francis, though.
That's my problem here.
Francis more worthy, but Derek Lewis is too fun.
When it has to be at the expense of Francis, I'm not for it. I like Francis too much.
Because Francis has been on Dan's podcast before. I haven't heard him recently, though, Dan, so maybe it's time you...
See if I can get him on the phone. I can see if I can get him on the phone.
He's big-timing you now, is he?
I feel like he's a little bit more big-time. They all get, I had Israel Adesanya on my show 3 times.
He also
doesn't pick up his phone all the time anymore.
Yeah.
I don't judge people for that. Dude, if you used to do every single podcast when you made your UFC debut, because I had Izzy on before he made his UFC debut, Like, that's cool, and now you don't want to do it anymore? That's also cool, so...
And it's not even them. It's not even them at this point. When you get that big, they have, you know, your team's booking all this for you.
Their managers have managers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so we got that. I know the first fight was a dud, but I'm down to see that fight again. I don't think the second one's going to be a dud.
No, I don't think so either. I think that would be fun.
And then we got Błachowicz is fighting Teixeira coming up in, what, the fall, I guess that would be probably by this point, because we went through most of the summer.
September, I believe, yeah.
And Błachowicz is probably going to kill the old man, which is sad, but I think Dan's probably leaning Teixeira. I think he mentioned that you like his chances.
I do like his chances probably more than the odds will suggest, but because I think Błachowicz has been out-wrestled, right? Like, I know, like, we just watched him win by wrestling, but... Like, people are short to forget that, like, Alexander Gustafsson out-wrestled Jan Błachowicz, right? Like,
he's coming back, and he's going to be a beast, he claims, too, Alexander Gustafsson.
Oh, no.
Look out, everybody.
Is he going to be a heavyweight again?
Oh, who knows? Yeah, he lost to, that was fun. He lost
Fabrizio
to
Verdum.
Fabrizio Verdum, yeah. Fun.
I got that fight really wrong. We weren't doing this podcast.
We both did,
Oh, were we doing this podcast?
I think we were. I think we both got that wrong, because we're up to episode 41, everybody, so we've been going strong for a while now. So, the middleweight, we got Adesanya versus Vittori, which we spoke of already. Welterweight, Usman. Yeah, who's Usman going to fight next? They're probably going to wait, right? Because he just fought, last month? They're probably going to wait.
He seems fresh, though, right? He just knocked somebody silly.
They got Burns and Wonderboy coming up.
I think if Wonderboy looks impressive in that, he can leapfrog. The thing is that Dana seems to keep hinting that Colby Covington's next, but like...
Oh, right, yes.
But what has Colby Covington done?
Right, sat on the sidelines?
He sat on the sidelines, he beat Tyron Woodley, and he appeared in 7 different Bang Energy drink commercials. Like, that doesn't scream title shot to me.
Said some racist things because he thinks it'll get him heat, brother.
Yeah, and like, that's not, no, I'm just,
It's bad heat.
I will say this, though, like, bad heat, not doing enough, he did give Usman his best fight.
Yes, he did.
So it is interesting, but like, go beat, if you are truly the guy to beat Kamaru Usman, you should also probably be able to beat Michael Chiesa. So just go beat Michael Chiesa and line it back up instead of appearing in another Bang Energy drink commercial.
Boy, I guess we're not getting that sponsor anytime soon. Sorry, Sean Ryan, but no Bang Energy.
Sorry, Bang Energy drink.
sorry, bosses, but Dan's made sure we're not going to get that sponsor.
Too much Bang slander.
Exactly. Edward, I guess we're overlooking Leon Edwards because that's what people do. They overlook Leon Edwards. Yep. But
I didn't even think of him. I'm going to be real honest.
He seems set up like not that beating Nate Diaz is a huge deal at this point, especially...
But if he did it violently.
Last, if he was a beast and a savage in there, But this would be a way to propel him into a title shot, you'd think. If he wins and doesn't eye poke or kick in the groin or whatever other things that could cause him to be disqualified. Then Charles Oliveira just won, and we figure he's going to get what? Connor or Dustin probably next?
Yeah, I assume it's the winner of this one, right? Like, that's why Dustin agreed to fight Connor. He can't get the bag and before he gets the strap.
Listen to the bag and strap. Listen to this guy. Get the bag before you get the strap. Alexander Volkanovski will be fighting Brian Ortega. They're coaching the Ultimate Fighter because that's just what we want. We want the Ultimate Fighter back.
Hot take.
I was going to say you're probably a fan, right?
I'm a fan.
You watch everything.
I love the Ultimate Fighter. My wife loves The Ultimate Fighter. She's not even, she's a fight fan, but she's not even that big of a fight. She loves The Ultimate Fighter. She's gone back and watched all the old seasons and stuff.
No way.
Yeah, she, loves the same seasons as I do. Like, season 7 with Amir Sadala is such a good season.
Amir Sadala, yes.
Rampage kicks, 4 doors in.
the good old days. We got that, too. Do you know when that's debuting? Because I don't pay attention to
June 1st. When our next episode airs, you'll be listening to it while you watch it.
Dan can give us, or maybe your wife can come on and give us a review of each episode. That would be a new feature.
New segment.
Except your pay is not going to go up. You guys still have to share the same amount of money I divvy out to you, or the boss divvy out to you. But maybe that'll bring in some female listeners if we have a female talking about reality shows. Then we got, what, Jan and Sterling, I guess, are going to rematch, you think? It's weird that that hasn't been announced yet.
Yeah, I think some of it is probably Aljo making sure he's healed up, A, and yeah. also playing the game a little bit.
He definitely is doing that.
Yeah, and I know people hate it, but, like what was he going to do? He was never going to come out of this looking good, right? Like,
no.
it's not his fault either, but nobody exactly. at the end of the day was going to be like, woo, Aljamain Sterling. So, like, you got two options. Just, like, rub it in as worst as you possibly can and get the heat for it. Like, I actually appreciate this heat compared to Colby Covington's heat.
Lean into it. Lean into it.
Right.
Then flyweight, Demetrius Johnson defended the belt a lot, in case anybody wondered. All his defenses are listed here on Wikipedia, like, wow, he defended it 11 times. I remember that guy.
Against everybody, too.
Against everybody.
From real contenders to Chris Cariasso. Like,
and Dan and I appreciated it, even though no one else seemed to pay attention to him. The hardcores appreciated it every time he fought. Davison Figueiredo, we know who he's fighting. He's fighting Brandon Moreno, and we think he's going to win. The women's side, Amanda Nunes, who knows about featherweight. If she feels like fighting next, it could be Norma DeMont, Dan even suggested, which isn't as much of a funny thing as it sounds. She's got quite a few at bantamweight defenses also. Next one, if she does the next one successfully, she will tie Ronda Rousey. So Nunes is fighting Juliana Pena, who's right place, right time situation. I think we both think Nunes is going to slaughter her in that spin, correct?
Yeah. Yep.
Hopefully not figuratively, but literally, I mean, hopefully just figuratively, not literally. We don't want anyone getting slaughtered. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and I think she just doesn't have the right skill set to fight her here. Like,
right.
Like, is she going to take Nunes down? Like, I don't think so.
All right, I'm setting Dan up for something here. Women's flyweight. Who should Valentina Shevchenko fight next, Dan?
The winner of Lauren Murphy and Joanne Calderwood. Yeah.
You sure it shouldn't just be Lauren Murphy?
I mean, it should have been, but now that she's already booked against Joanne Calderwood, whoever comes out on top of that one, I'm fine with. I mean, Calderwood already had a title shot, and she squandered it by fighting again and being, like, a good company woman in that way. But, like, and I think Murphy probably should have earned one already, too. So whoever beats the other one definitely has earned one.
Do you think this is going to happen, though? More than likely, probably.
Yeah, I can't think of anybody else at flyweight who sticks out as being, like, the hotter, trendy pick, right? Like, Andrade probably wasn't more deserving than
Lauren Murphy,
but you know who I was going to say, Lauren Murphy. But, like, at the same time, she was, like, trendy because she was, like, new to the division. She had a big finish, and she, you know, the excitement was there. So there's somebody who could leapfrog her, but, like, I don't even see anybody who's ready to leapfrog her at this point.
Right. I hope Lauren Murphy realizes how much of a stan you are for her on this podcast. I know she's been on your other podcast, but I hope she listens to every podcast you're on. Hopefully
one of the three people who
one of the three people
on my all
hopefully her husband doesn't listen and think that you're a creep.
He's a beast. Have you ever seen him grapple? Side note.
No.
Is he a killer? He's a killer.
I
want to say jiu-jitsu black belt, but if not black, then brown. I think black belt. And he's been on a whole bunch of those flow grappling shows, the fight to wins and stuff like that. And he's pretty damn good.
So, with all the creepy things in your phone, I wouldn't want you being fixated on my wife. But nonetheless, let's move on. Women's strawweight, Rose Namajunas. We were talking about this last week. We think it should be Carla Esparza, right? Is it going to be?
I 100% think it will be. The narrative's there. The performance is more recent. Why not? Yeah.
Yeah, and it's amazing. That I think you laid this out last podcast. 7 years later, the two women who started it could be fighting for the belt again, which is pretty crazy. It's crazy to me that it's been 7 years. It does not seem like strawweight's been around 7 years, but it in fact has.
Yeah, it's crazy also because you're right. It doesn't feel like it's been that the division is that old, but in the same sense, like think about the evolution. Like it seems like Rose Namajunas has been around for 15 years in how much she's developed in that time. So
yeah
it feels like it's simultaneously been no time in an infinite amount of time.
But BMF isn't listed here. Well, who's fighting for the BMF title next? That's what I want to know. Who even has it? I guess
Usman
housed him twice. Should he not have had fewer fights? That's how Hogan used to lose in non-title fights. But yeah, so there you go.
Can you imagine getting your head punched in that hard and still claiming that you're the baddest motherfucker?
Yeah.
What a wild
claim. Well, The Rock gave him the belt. Come on, Rock is not a liar. He's going to be your president soon, Dan. President Johnson, everybody.
It's so funny, but it's not really funny.
It wouldn't be that worse than... You've had worse, let's just say that, okay? he seems like a nice enough guy. You've had worse. All right, before we go into... politics and lose half our listening base, because as Michael Jordan said, Republicans buy shoes too, everybody. So that's a famous Michael Jordan quote, which he may not have ever really said, but regardless, it was before Dan's time. He doesn't know what to talk about, I'm sure. So let's put this to bed. Episode 41 is going out to you, Dirk Nowitzki. Before we hopefully something exciting happens in the next few days, then we'll have more hot content for you on Sunday. But even if it's not anything earth-shattering happening, we will come to you with another quality podcast Sunday. That is our guarantee here at the MMA Gambling Podcast and Sports Gambling Podcast Network. In the meantime, make sure you follow us on Twitter. I gave you out Dan's handle earlier. All you Brits, get at him and tell him how you love Leon Rocky Edwards, and he's super exciting. That would be Gumby Vreeland. And don't get at me about anything. I'm at Jeff Fox, writer. Read our stuff on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Dan's working on an article on the craziest baseball injuries, which seems every day I'm able to send him another article. Hey, look, this guy hurt himself ripping his jersey off. So it's always something fun. My son was asking me about all the craziest baseball injuries, so I said, you just wait for this article. It's going to be good. We got people having nightmares of spiders falling through tables, and people putting balls and passing out in showers, and like I said, ripping the jersey off and fracturing their finger, I think. And I have him on my fantasy team, so I'm real happy about that.
Yeah, and the Braves lost one earlier this year. Bob Walker, you know, punched a brick wall because he thought that might help his pitching career. So, yeah.
And guess who else has him on his fantasy team? Me! He's on my, in another league I'm in, he's on my fantasy team. So I'm getting nailed by all these baseball injuries, let me tell you. So you can read that. Read all their other great stuff there. Obviously, we're deep into the NBA playoff coverage, so we got lots of awesome player prop articles, and I broke down both conferences heading into the playoffs. I think I had the Clippers winning in five games, so I think I slipped up there since they're down 2-0 at this point. I don't think they're going to win in five games. I think that mathematically is not possible at this time. So check out our stuff there. Check out our stuff at MMA-Manifesto.com. Listen to Top Turtle MMA Podcasts. Listen to the prelim picker, not this week, because it will not be on this week. And I suggested that he retires the podcast because he's not going to top the last episode, which I was the co-host on. So I hope you're still considering that.
I was, but then I remembered my sponsor would be pretty bummed about
that. That's true. Yep. Dan is all about the money, everybody. All about the money. All right. And hopefully, what else we have? I just got a text that the Trae Young is bald chant is going over big in Madison Square Gardens. That's the new chant the Knicks fans decided they're going to get over, is Trae is going bald, and apparently it's getting on like wildfire. So do you know what I'm talking about, Dan? You know Trae Young?
I do know Trae Young. That's an interesting move to try to make him mad, though, yes. Because I'm pretty sure you make him mad, he's going to torch the Knicks, right?
Like, exactly.
Yeah.
Trae is balding. I'm sorry. There's printouts. I think
Trae is balding. It's got a nice cadence to it.
Yes. Someone sent out there's an actual printout I think people were handing out at the game. Tonight's chant is Trae is balding. At only 22 years old, Trae's hair is thinning at an alarmingly fast pace, and he has a bald spot forming on the crown of his head. This is very in-depth. This will be a much more effective chant to take advantage of home court and throw Trae off his game. Yeah, it's going to throw him off his game for sure. Reminds me of the Simpsons kids chanting Daryl, but that actually did work. Daryl ended up crying on the Simpsons Daryl Strawberries. Right, that's my last tangent. Can't remember what to talk about. Follow Twitter, listen to Dan's podcast, read all their stuff. And I think That is all I have to say. Is there anything that I forget, Dan?
No,
it's been long enough.
You nailed it all. You got all the good stuff, especially one Simpsons reference in there.
Exactly. We should. Every episode should have a Simpsons reference. Hmm. Maybe we'll have a new segment on the podcast, everybody. But at this point, it's 10 o'clock, and I haven't eaten dinner yet, and Dan is stinky and sweaty. Are you not, Dan?
Yeah, I'm going to go finish a run.
There you go. All right. So, should I say bye this time, or do you want to say bye? Do you have something planned? I have nothing planned again.
I mean, I'll let you take this one.
Okay. Thank you for listening. I am Jack Sox, a.k.a. Jack Sachs, a.k.a. Jeff Fox. He was Daniel Gumby Vreeland, a.k.a. Go-Go Vreeland, a.k.a. King of the Go-Go Platter Vreeland. And thanks for coming to the podcast, and we'll catch your ear holes next time on Sunday. Bye-bye.